Olá pessoal, tudo bem? Um episódio especial da Rádio América, aqui o post vai para o central3.com.br, também vai para o feed do iTunes, é como se fosse um programa especial, e também no Pro Football. Eu estou aqui com o Rodrigo Sanzovo, meu parceiro, meu compadre de sempre no podcast do Rádio América. Hoje foi um dia muito especial, afinal de contas gravamos com o Everaldo Marques, mas foi ainda mais especial, né, Rodrigo, porque a gente conseguiu algo que... Bom, o início da história já era coisa de outro mundo.
E cresceu.
E aí foi crescendo de uma maneira inexplicável, né? Um belo dia eu estava lá sem fazer nada. Aí eu fui no acervo da Folha para pesquisar algumas coisas sobre Super Bowl, como que era para ver no Brasil, Super Bowl na década de 80 e tal. E aí me deu um clique de pesquisar, uma coisa que já estava na minha cabeça há algum tempo, kicker. E aí apareceu a história do Tony Di Rienzo, kicker brasileiro, nato, nasceu no Brasil, filho de brasileiros, que foi fazer intercâmbio com 17 anos em Oklahoma. Num belo dia lá em Oklahoma... num treino de atletismo, ele começou a chutar uma bola de futebol, e aí alguém virou e falou assim: pô, por que você não tenta jogar futebol americano? Ele foi lá, fez testes, já estava chutando field goal de 40 jardas no high school, foi campeão no high school, recrutado por Oklahoma, que é o principal programa, a Universidade de Oklahoma, né?
Não só em Norman. Vocês vão ver aí nessa entrevista.
Sim.
Que ele foi recrutado por UCLA, Notre Dame.
Ele queria ir para o UCLA.
Ele queria ir para o UCLA, os pais dele queriam ele em Notre Dame.
Porque eram católicos e tal, então quer dizer, só programas de alto nível. E acabou ficando em Oklahoma. O Tony, portanto, é o primeiro kicker brasileiro. Aliás, o primeiro brasileiro a jogar futebol americano universitário nos Estados Unidos, e não só isso. Primeiro chute dele em Oklahoma foi de 60 jardas, o que ainda é o recorde para a Universidade de Oklahoma até hoje. Hashtag College Kickers. Ninguém conseguiu bater esse. Tem que nem 60 jardas, é difícil, né? E foi campeão nacional duas vezes com o Barry Switzer, que veio a ser campeão do Super Bowl também, Super Bowl 30. Foi campeão em 74, 75 e, além disso, draftado pelo San Diego Chargers em 1976. Isso faz dele o primeiro brasileiro nato a ser draftado na NFL, na oitava rodada. O que é que seria equivalente hoje, né, Rodrigo, que agora tem 32 franquias. Na época não tinha, seria equivalente ao final da sexta rodada, as escolhas compensatórias da sexta rodada do draft atual. Então, ele mesmo menciona... Isso, aliás, eu falei que ele menciona, sim, nós conseguimos o contato do Tony Di Rienzo, estamos aqui nos estúdios da Central 3, e a gente vai ligar para ele agora, a gente espera que ele atende, a gente não tem a menor ideia se ele vai atender ou não, porque é um número que a gente já tentou ligar na semana passada e não deu certo, né, chamou, e ninguém atendeu muito, porque provavelmente ele deve ter estranhado o número interurbano e tal. A gente vai tentar agora pelo Skype. Muito obrigado, senhor Leandro e a mim. Depois passe a conta.
Aliás, deve
de quanto custou
falar
essa ligação.
Com ele em inglês, a gente sabe, o que a gente já sabe é que ele fala português fluentemente, tudo. Mas por uma questão de conforto, ele não fala português há muito tempo. A gente vai falar inglês com ele. Vai postar
não é,
a tradução.
Não é que a gente quer ser pedante, tipo, olha, eu curto o Rodrigo querendo se achar, não.
E nem que ele também não é. Ele é brasileiro mesmo.
Sim.
Hoje ele é, lógico, americano e brasileiro.
Será que ele tem sotaque? Faz esse sotaque de Alabama aí. Sotaque de Alabama é bom.
Sotaque de Alabama?
Roll Tide. Então, não sei se ele tem sotaque lá.
I hate Auburn.
O Tony morou 40... Aliás, mora ainda, né? Mas está há 40 anos em Oklahoma. E aí a gente tem algumas perguntas para fazer. Cerca o quê? De 6, 7 perguntas, né, Rodrigo? A gente não quer encher muito o saco dele também.
Coisa rápida. E a tradução, lógico, vai estar
postaremos a tradução. O senhor vai fazer? O senhor que é um teacher de English?
Posso estar fazendo.
Tá, ok. Então a tradução em português vai estar lá, mas se vocês quiserem ouvir o áudio original, também estará aqui conosco. Agora somos uma rádio internacional, Leandro e Amin. Bom, então é isso. A gente vai ligar agora para o Tony Di Rienzo. Vamos tentar descobrir o que aconteceu nos Chargers, se ele teve alguma outra chance na NFL. Por que que ele acabou ficando lá em Oklahoma. Enfim, eu tô tão curioso quanto você, leitor do Pro Football,
você
ouvinte.
Você está curtioso.
Estou curtioso. E ouvinte aqui da Central 3, certo? Vamos ligar então.
Prefer we do it in English or Portuguese?
I didn't hear you. You do what?
Do you prefer we ask you the questions in English or Portuguese?
It doesn't matter. Probably English, but it doesn't matter. Well, I'll do this for you.
Okay, so we'll do it in English since you're driving. I guess you're nowadays more comfortable with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Well, let's start talking about your career with the Sooners, okay?
Okay, well, can I ask, what's your name?
Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, okay, Rodrigo. Okay, it's nice meeting you, okay?
Okay, and I'm with a partner, the one who wrote the actual article, Anthony.
Tony, I'm very pleased to meet you. I wrote a piece, I founded the article at a Brazilian journal named Folha in 1975.
Uh-huh. And that was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a pretty long time ago, 4 years ago. And I'm very pleased to talk with you. It's really a great story. I was very, I was stunned, actually, when I found it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that like we had no idea about your story, and like football is growing like immensely here in Brazil. People are watching it a ton nowadays, and your story really fell through the cracks. And now, just to be able to pick it up and tell your story, which is amazing, you know, is great okay. for us. So let's start with some questions now.
Sure.
So, you were coached by the great
Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer, yeah. You won two correct. National championships in Oklahoma.
Correct.
How was that experience as a whole? I know it's a broad question, but can you talk about that?
Well, it's amazing because being from Brazil, I had no idea how serious or how important and how competitive, you know, college football is here. And in Oklahoma, we don't have a football team, so the Sooners were considered as a professional football team here because they didn't have a professional football team here. So the fans, the stadium, the tradition, the school, I mean, it's really, really big. And I had no idea it's going to be like this. I came as a foreign exchange student and from Rotary Club, and I've never seen a game of football. I've never even seen the football itself. And then when I played my senior year high school, I did well enough to get scholarships pretty much to just about every school in the nation. And I want to go to UCLA. My mom and dad wanted to go to Notre Dame because it was Catholic. And the people from Oklahoma wanted me to go to school at OU. So I ended up going to school at OU. But I had no idea how big it was, you know. And playing for Coach Switzer. Coach Switzer wasn't my coach my freshman year. My freshman coach was Chuck Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And he left to be a coach with New England Patriots or something like that. So Coach Switzer took over, and, of course, Coach Switzer was more like a player's coach. I mean, he was real friendly, easy to get along with. Fair, just a great salesperson. Got us believing that we could do anything, and we won. I mean, I only lost one game in my whole career at OU. We were 37-1 when I played.
Amazing.
He thought it was one of the hotter.
Well, Tony, you went to United States without being fluent in English. How was to communicate with your coach and know what to do, when to kick, when to go into the field? How you managed to achieve what you did, kicking 60 yards field goal, which... Still
well,
the record at Oklahoma.
I spoke a little bit of English back then. In high school, it was the toughest time because I was 16 years old. I came in January, which was the summertime in Brazil, wintertime here. I came to Oklahoma, had no idea what Oklahoma was. And I didn't speak any English whatsoever. So the school trying to help me, they put me in Spanish classes. They put in classes like math and geometry and accounting, with dealing with numbers because the numbers are the same everywhere. So, and it took me probably about 3 to 4 months to get used to it, you know, to English. And then one day I just woke up and I was speaking English. That's about probably about 5-6 months later. So when the season started in August and September, I was already familiar with English a little better. So my communication was better. The problem that I had at OU was I was the first soccer-style kicker. Eu fui o primeiro chutador que chutava a bola com o peito do pé. Em vez de jogar de dedão, né?
Straight on in English and in Portuguese, bicuda,
in English,
something
right.
like that.
So all the coaching all the books, all the information on kicking back then was strictly on straight on kickers. So I pretty much had to learn on my own, and that's what I did. I was just luck. I mean, I was a soccer player in Brazil. I had probably the strongest leg in São Paulo, really. I mean, it was my leg always being strong, and I just had to hit the ball right, and everything went in place, and the rest was, you know, was history. But the rules, the hardest part, like you said, was to learn the rules, you know, when to kick and what to kick. I mean, you know, in soccer, kick the ball under the goalpost, and football, kick over the goalpost.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. But the biggest thing that I had to do was just to learn on my own, because nobody knew anything what I was doing. So I pretty much, I taught myself how to do it, so.
Okay, great stuff. About your time at OU, what's your fondest memory playing there?
It's talking about a game or a year.
Beside the national championship, perhaps the winning field goal against Texas, I don't know, on your sophomore year. Well, I guess it was your second year.
The kick against Texas was probably the most important one I ever kicked, because it kept us kept us undefeated and won the championship. But I mean, I have a magazine. I'm going to send it to you. It was written by a guy that followed me for a long, long time. It's Sooner Illustrated. I'll send you the magazine. It's got a really good article. Breaks it down just about everything that happened to me, and it's really good. I'll send it to you. Give you some good information. But the Texas kick was the most important. But the one I'm the most proud of course, is the 60 yards, because I mean, I was the first person in OU to kick a 60-yard field goal, and I just missed the national record by 1 yard.
Yes, at the time.
And it's still the record.
Don't realize
OU, right?
That was my very first kick I ever kicked at OU.
I wrote it at the article. It was his first kick.
Yeah, that's really
my first kick ever.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, back then that was unheard of. As a matter of fact, I kicked the ball, you know, a mile in practice, and the play, it's Coach Lutcher told me he was going to punt the ball, or somebody, the offense coordinator said, let's go ahead and punt, and Coach Lutcher said, no, give it your chance, let's go ahead and try it. So they called a timeout, and I went out and kicked the field goal. But they were playing on punting the ball instead of kicking the field goal.
Wow. That's really absolutely amazing. Now, since we're on the topic of the Longhorns, you know, about the rivalry with Texas, we know it's huge, right? OU in Texas.
Very. Yes.
And
yes.
Do you what's the biggest memories you have besides that big kick, you know, both positive or negative?
I don't understand what you're saying.
The biggest memories you have, you know, both positive
at the campus, perhaps. You went on being, I don't know, kind of a celebrity at Norman. A little bit, at least. I read.
I was. Well, the reason I was one of the most popular players on the team, not because, I mean, the kicker back then wasn't that important. You know, our team was so good, and our offense was so good. I mean, they kick, you know, I didn't have to kick a lot of field goals. Because, you know, I just kicked a lot of extra points because the team was so good, they scored so many points. So, but the reason I stood out is because, first, I was the first soccer-style kicker. I was the first player in OU history to get a full scholarship to be a, what they call, un jogador especial, de uma posição especial.
Special player, not a skill player.
Because they never, you know, all the kickers on the team play other positions. I didn't.
Indeed, at that time,
I was the first one to get a scholarship to be only a kicker. So that was different. And then, of course, I have, you know, my Brazilian accent, and I have long hair, and you know, just a Brazilian style. You know, kind of, you know, I was. I mean, I had a nice tan all the time, and I mean, I was a little different than the rest of the kids. So
yeah,
but you know, I wore my hair in a ponytail, walk around campus, and. So it's a little different.
I guess the soccer style kink, by kickers were more, I don't know, popular starting in the 80s, perhaps. Only you and Pete Gogolek by the Dolphins.
Yes.
My partner here, Rodrigo, is a Dolphins fan. I'm a Bears fan. And you were a pioneer. You were a Sooner. Indeed, you were a Sooner.
Yes.
Well, we'd like to know. I couldn't find at the internet any articles at all you were drafted in the eighth round, I guess.
Eighth round, yeah.
By the San Diego Chargers, and what happened? You stayed only at the training camp. What I was able to find at the Rotarian magazine, a magazine from the Rotary Club, is that mm-hmm. you went back to Norman to finish your business degree. But
that's correct.
Well, you were cut by the Chargers. What happened specifically?
Well, playing for OU and playing professional football is completely different. First, you know, like I told you, at OU, I played 4 years, you know, almost 4 years, lost one game. And San Diego, the team that I was playing for, wasn't very good. I was drafted, yeah, so back then they had 19 rounds, and I got to go in the eighth round, which is, it was pretty uncommon for kickers.
Yes.
Because none of the kickers could have got that high. Eighth round back then was a good place to be. And, when I get to San Diego, I don't know. I mean, I love the city. I didn't get along with the coach as good as I thought. And, I just been married for about, less than a month. So, my heart just wasn't in it. So I just left. I came back to Norman, went back to school. And then for the next couple of years, I got calls from different teams. Pittsburgh called me, Green Bay called me. I went to several camps, play on preseason games, I went to all the camps with them. But I just didn't care for it. I just wanted, Carol was tired of me traveling. She wanted me to settle down. She wanted sports to get a place and maybe go to Brazil and help my dad. So we just, for some reason, just wasn't the same anymore. So I just, I pretty much quit.
I really don't think you quit. You opted to study. That's bold. That's you know, very brave. I admire you for doing that. Have you played a regular season game or just preseason and training camps?
Just preseason training camps.
Got it.
One thing that I find like fascinating about your story is that you are the only Brazilian person ever to be drafted. Nowadays, we do have a kicker. Cairo Santos is the starter for Kansas City. You are the first one. You are the pioneer. You are the only one. And we didn't know about you.
It was 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's 40 years ago. And I think probably because since you used the name Tony...
My name actually is Anthony.
It kind of fell through the cracks, right? If it was like Antonio Di Rienzo, we would probably would have checked it out earlier. I'm just really fascinated about your story because it's something so unusual for us. And you kicked a 60-yard field goal, which is, come on.
Very uncommon to nowadays in college, I would say.
Yeah, completely.
On this article, I'm going to show you that I'm going to send you. I'm the only kicker in OU history to kick 5 field goals of 50 yards.
Wow.
I had 5 field goals of 50 yards. I had one game against Kansas State my senior year. I kicked 2 field goals of 50 yards in one game. I have the longest field goal, which is 50, and the third longest, which was just 56.
You were all Big Eight.
Number three.
You were all Big Eight selection. The best kicker in the conference, right? And you know how your life went after football, after establishing yourself in Oklahoma, doing your business degree. What happened in those? We know you have 2 daughters, 2, I guess.
I have 2 daughters and a son.
Okay.
And we go to Brazil every year to see my family. I have
Anifa, of yours, contacted me about that. Yeah.
I have family in São Paulo, family in Rio, family in Sorocaba, family in Mogi das Cruzes, all brothers and sisters. So I try to go there once a year to see everybody. But what happened was once I finished football, I went back to school, and somehow my wife needed a new car, and she went to a car dealership in Norman to buy a new car. And at that time, I was in training camp with Pittsburgh Steelers. And when she got to the dealership, she picked up a car. She brought the car home. And when I got home, and I said, "Did you pay for it?" She goes, "No." I said, "Well, how are you going to pay for it?" She goes, "I said, well, they know who you are. They said when you come back from camp, just go over there and settle the bill with them." I said, "That's a lot of money, Carol." So I went back to the dealership. I said, "I don't want this car. I want something different, bigger, whatever." And so they offered me a job. to sell cars. And I said, why should I sell cars? He goes, well, because you got a big name in Norman, everybody knows you. I think it'll be easy for you. You got a great personality, people like you, and you're fun to be around, and I think you can make a lot of money and have a good time doing it. So I got in the car business, and that was in 1980, January 1980, and I've been in the car business ever since.
Well,
Entendeu?
Yes, yeah. We got it. Nós entendemos. Just to be clear, you had training with Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and San Diego. Is that right?
Yeah, it was San Diego because I got drafted.
Yes.
And then the year in 1977 with Pittsburgh, 1978 with New England Patriots, and 1979 the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
This is really awesome. Really.
Yeah, that's very interesting as well.
Yeah, and Bart Starr, have you guys ever heard of Bart Starr?
Yeah, sure, of course. Quarterback for Green Bay Packers.
Okay,
Super Bowl MVP.
He was the coach at Green Bay when I was there. And it's kind of funny that Santos is playing for Kansas City because they used to be my favorite team. They had a guy called Jens Stenerud. He used to be from Sweden. He was the first soccer-style kicker to play for Kansas City. And he had a red jersey like I did at OU, and both of us were number three.
Indeed.
And he was my... He was my hero.
Dan's meat, after all. We can
and
say
then
that.
In Green Bay, when I went to Green Bay, Coach Bart Starr said, Tony, I said, you know, I'd like for you to come back to camp. We got to keep, you know, I think you can make the team. So they sent a scout to Norman. They're watching me kick. Great, you're kicking well. Just come to camp. We'll sign the contract. When I get to the camp, Jens Stenerud was there in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I said, man, what is this guy doing here? Because I thought he retired. And he ended up getting the job and not me.
Wow. So
because his name, because I mean I was what 10-15 years younger than him. I mean I kicked the ball like 30 yards farther than he can, you know, and I was young and he was a few years like a mid-30s already. But the coach decided to go with him just because of game experience and because everybody knew his name.
Wow.
And nobody knew they ever heard of Tony D. That's what they call me, Tony D.
Impressive.
It's really an awesome story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Just to finish it out, we don't want to bother you anymore. You're driving. Football is...
No, I stopped. Go ahead.
Football is perhaps the American football, in this case, is perhaps the fastest growth sport in Brazil. And we have Cairo, and about 1 million people watched both conference championships for NFL last week. I'm one of the color commentators for ESPN Brazil here. I did 2 Oklahoma games this year against Tennessee. I don't know if you have watched it. And the semifinal against Clemson.
Yeah.
And so it's very, I don't know, I get very emotional to talk with you. I'd like to first of all thank for your time, but I don't know what message would you give to first Brazilian players of American football. There are many here in Brazil who'd like to follow your path, and what message would you give to those people, and mainly to Brazilian fans who were as impressed as I am, as Rodrigo is, as everybody are here in Brazil. What message would you pass to hear your country? You were born here. I talk with you. I talk with someone who speaks English in a fluent way, but at the same time, I can feel you. You have a huge heart for our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've been here for 40 years, you know, so it's I am kind of, you can say, you know, American Brazilian.
Yes.
But the game of football, it's interesting because what I love about the game, because it's in soccer, you can have one great player, like let's say like a Neymar or Ronaldo. They make one play by themselves, they can score. Okay. In football, it takes all 11 players to make a play work.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So what I love about the game, what I love about it is because it's teamwork. It takes all 11 players.
especially on offense. If you miss an assignment, if you miss a block, the running back's not going anywhere. If the quarterback throws the ball and the receiver runs the wrong route, he's not going to catch the ball. So it takes all 11 players to make a play work, and that's what I loved about it. And just with the team concept. Plus, I got to live with the same, 70 guys for 4 years. I mean, we became a family with the coaches and the players. And that always would be in my heart. But the only thing is, for you to play soccer, you just need a place to, a round ball and a place to get the ball. For you to play American football, you need equipment. It takes a lot more,
structure.
I mean, just to be born, it takes a lot more, things to put you, for you to be able to play.
Yeah.
But once the American, the Brazilian people learn the game, I think they'll love it because it's fun and exciting. I mean, it's I played a little bit of wide receiver, I played a little defense back. I wasn't fast enough or big enough, but
you found your niche, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but and something else. When I see this article, I started lifting weights because I was too small. I want to get my legs stronger. And, my senior year in college, I was probably one of the strongest guys on the team as a kicker.
Yeah, that's really amazing, right? Considering especially the talent you had in those Oklahoma teams. Just a final question here. If you will authorize us to, post this interview?
Of course.
Okay, thank you, and have a great one, and Boomer Sooner, right?
Boomer Sooner.
Hey. Yeah, you guys ever come to Oklahoma?
No, not Oklahoma. I went to United States, Rodrigo, as well.
Yeah, my brother went to Stanford, so yeah, I went to the U.S. quite frequently. But
where do you guys live now? You guys live here or Brazil?
No, we live in São Paulo.
We're here in São Paulo right now.
We're in São Paulo. We're
both of you in São Paulo.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I want to send you this magazine because you guys, I think if you read this article, you're going to love it. There's a lot of real cool stuff. There's a guy that wrote this, he's from Kansas City. He wrote an article 2 years ago on a special magazine just for the Sooners.
Okay.
And he shows my family, shows a lot of things. I think you guys got a good care of that.
Oh, great.
If you just text me your email address, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Okay, we sure will.
Sure thing.
Tony, many, many, many thanks. Many thanks. Your story was really amazing. I'm very happy for...
It's really an honor, right?
Yes, it's indeed an honor. I will never forget,
hey,
really.
You guys, if I ever come to Brazil and, you guys are announcing a football game, I'll come help you. I'll try to
arrange that at the ESPN here in Brazil. Of course, everybody will be very pleased to have you around and in some studio show. Whatever. Well, many thanks, Tony.
Boomer Sooner.
Okay, you're very welcome, guys. Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Ciao.